Lord, as we come together this Sunday, we praise you that you are still Lord and that you'll always be Lord. And as we hear your word today, we pray that you would speak into our hearts. Give us eyes to see, ears to hear. Let us not be blind, Lord, to the things that you reveal to us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Nat King Cole's The Christmas Song describes perfectly the version of Christmas so many of us desire. Chestnuts roasting on an open fire, Jack Frost nipping at your nose, Yuletide carols being sung by a choir. I'm sure you want me to sing this now, but you really don't. Everybody knows a turkey and some mistletoe help make the season bright. And tiny tots with their eyes all abright. Christmas is a special season. It's a season that we look forward to, and especially children. I mean, they love Christmas. But for all the sweets and decorations and lights that may temporarily lift up our spirits, there's often a hollowness behind it if we don't embrace the full meaning of what Christmas is all about. And while our senses may be lifted, our spirits can feel empty this time of year. Today we're continuing our sermon series called Advent, A Time of Anticipation. And we've been describing the fact that we live in a time of waiting. And the fact is, it's not just during Advent, but we live in a time of waiting right now as disciples of Jesus. We're waiting with anticipation for the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. And during this time, it really matters how we live. How we live matters. And so we've seen in this series that Jesus has told us, well, we have to stay awake. And we've also seen that we need to be prepared. So as the Lord reveals things to us that grieve him, we need to repent. And today we're going to see another aspect of this anticipation for his return, that we need to seek the true light that this time is all about. So turning your Bibles to John chapter 1. This is what we just read, our gospel reading. And we're looking at the first 18 verses of John chapter 1. Now, this is one of the most famous passages in all of Scripture. We know it well. It's the prelude to John's gospel. It's a narrative of the coming of Jesus. In many ways, it's a theological treatise, meaning that it explains what John really understands who Jesus Christ to be. Now, context is everything if you really want to understand this passage. And you'll notice something, that John incorporates over and over again images of light and darkness. For John, the world is dark. Now, we understand this. This has been a particularly dark year for all of us, hasn't it? We have faced isolation and the inability to connect with our friends and family. We haven't been able to gather as one church family. And it has left kind of an emptiness inside of us. Our lives have been impacted by this. But really the truth is that darkness has always been the nature of our world. It's nothing new here. Ever since the events in the garden, when the serpent deceived the first human beings into disobeying God, darkness has reigned over the earth. The Apostle Peter recognized this darkness and our own proneness towards sin. And he wrote this in 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. That's a dark world when you know that there's an enemy that's seeking to devour you constantly. But in the midst of this darkness, we long for light. And at Christmas time, we find light in the lights of our Christmas trees, in the music that we sing, in the festivities that we take part in. Or even, you know, as we think about the Christmas song that says it's the most wonderful time of the year. But here's the problem with the light of this season. If we put something in front of any light, we try to obstruct it this way, it only creates shadows. And so it blinds you from the light, and then shadows are created all around us. The light is obstructed. And for many today, there is an obstruction that has entered their lives. They see the Christmas lights. They hear the music. They attend the parties. They sing the songs. But they just don't feel it. Just as lights create a shadow when you put something in front of them, they just feel a certain pain when it comes to Christmas time. They find themselves living in a shadowy dark while everyone else is celebrating. So my sister lost her husband around Christmas time 6 years ago. And for her, Christmas is just a reminder of that loss. How do you convince someone that this is a season of good cheer when you've lost a loved one? How do you convince somebody that this is a season of giving when you've just lost your job? How do you convince somebody that this is a season of peace when all around you is division and violence? The worst thing that we can try to do is to give each other false hope, plastic cheer, or shallow encouragement cloaked with friendly advice. In the midst of this world of darkness, a light like no other has come. John 1 is a description of the true light that has come into the world. You'll notice how John describes that light. He moves from the very majestic image of this light to the very specific, from the cosmic preeminent Christ to the incarnate Jesus. It's helpful to think of the structure of John 1 almost as concentric circles. And you know what concentric circles are. You have a big circle, and then inside of it there'll be a smaller one, and inside of that there's yet a smaller one, and it just continues. That's concentric circles. And so John begins almost, first of all, with this big circle. And he says, the Word existed from the beginning of time and existed as God. And this Word is the source of life, and it has overcome the darkness. And then he goes on, he talks about that the Word rules the world and its inhabitants. And he created all things. And then it says that this cosmic eternal light, and this is the smallest circle, became the finite person of Jesus. Now, in John chapter 1, you'll notice that it follows a structure that's very similar to the structure of a book in the New Testament, of the Old Testament, sorry. Do you know which Old Testament book that is? It's actually Genesis 1. And you'll see a lot of comparisons between there. So in Genesis 1, you'll find very similar, you know, sort of concentric circle structure. And it begins with the widest circle that we have, God, who existed from the beginning, who is the universal creator of all that is. God is the source of light. And the first thing he does is he separates the darkness from the light. And then in another concentric circle, he created all things, all the inhabitants of the earth. And then in the smallest circle, it says that God's creation continues as his image is expressed in a finite human form, human beings. So what is John doing? Well, John is intentionally creating a parallel between Genesis 1 and what he does here. He's creating a parallel between the first creation and the coming of Jesus. And he wants us to understand that the incarnation, that the coming of Jesus in the flesh, is the inauguration of a new creation through a new divine image in human form, the Word made flesh. Now, prior to the first creation, if you go back to Genesis 1, darkness reigned. And then we read in verse 2 of Genesis 1 that the earth was out form and void. Darkness was over the face of the deep. God's very first act was to bring light. And similarly, in the new creation, Christ is the light in the midst of a dark world. A light so bright, John says, that darkness cannot overcome it. Throughout the Gospel of John, the image of Christ as light plays a central role. And you can actually look at this throughout different episodes in the Gospel. And let me just show you a few right now. So in chapter 3, Nicodemus comes to Jesus. And he comes to Jesus in the middle of the night. There's darkness all around. And Jesus describes those who live in truth as the ones who come to the light. Or in chapter 8, when Jesus teaches in the temple, he calls himself the light of the world. And then the next chapter, he heals a blind man, removing his darkness and opening his eyes to see the light. Or in chapter 12, after Jesus enters Jerusalem to begin his final week of his life, he calls his followers to believe in the light so that their lives might be determined by the light. You know, darkness always seeks to conquer light. And don't we find that in our lives as well? You know, we find ourselves stuck in sin or an addiction. We receive bad news about our health or something tragic has happened to a friend or family member. Or we turn on our TVs or look at our news feeds and we find all kinds of things that are wrong in the world. And it's so easy to allow that darkness to just take over. We suddenly get sucked in by that darkness. It just seems to control everything. But the scripture tells us that light is not found in willpower or mustering up energies to try to vanquish that darkness. Light is found in the coming of Jesus. And his light outshines the darkness. So the natural light creates obstructions. When we put something in front of a light, there's an obstruction in the way. But Christ's light shines even through the obstructions that we face in this light. Christ's light is not the fabricated light of the holiday season. Christ's light continues to shine. It is the light of God who says, "Be still and know that I am God." It is the light that says, "You're not alone. You do not suffer in solitude. You have a companion on the journey. One who cried your tears. One who felt your anger, wrestled with your temptations, and felt the sting of having to say goodbye." Look at what John writes in verse 5 of chapter 1 of John. He says, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not overcome it." This means that we can invite the light of Christ into any situation we find ourselves in, knowing that his power is greater than any darkness that we will face in this life. He's greater than any darkness. He's greater than any temptation that we might face, any disease, any hardship, any pandemic, any threat to this nation, any threat to our lives, or any loss that we may face. Jesus brings light to our world. And he does so in three significant ways. And I want you to note these because we can really be encouraged by the light that he brings to our life. And the first way that he brings light is that he brings truth. In a world of deception and lies, Jesus brings the light of truth. So Jesus said in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And to Pontius Pilate, he said, "For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I've come into the world, to bear witness to the truth." You know, the greatest lie of our age is that God doesn't exist. Or if God does exist, then he's just some sort of force out there who doesn't really care about me or what's going on in the world. It's just kind of a force that's there. But the truth brought by Christ is that God so loved the world that he sent the eternal word into the world to save humanity from their sins and to make us children of God. You see, the truth is that there is a purpose for your life. The truth is that God hasn't forgotten you. The truth is that there is always light, no matter what darkness we may face. And the light is in Christ. Second, Jesus brings the light of justice. You know, we look at our world, and there's all kinds of brokenness around us. War, poverty, homelessness, human trafficking, crime, corruption, disease. I mean, we could name it and continue to name the ways in which our world just doesn't function the way it should. The scriptures are clear. Christ has come to make all that is wrong with our world right. In Matthew 12, 18, we read about Jesus, and this is quoting from Isaiah. It says, "Behold my servant, whom I've chosen, my beloved, whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he will proclaim justice to the Gentiles." And what that means is that justice is a word that means he will make all things right. He will judge what is wrong, and he will lift up what is good. So when Jesus returns, he will judge the nations. And every human being will appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And everything will be exposed. Everything in our lives, everything that we've ever done will be exposed. Every human being. And when he is done with his judgment, our world will not be the same. There will be no more evil, no more tears, no more death. The light of Christ brings justice, brings the hope that we all have for a world that is right. And third, Jesus brings the light of his love. The relationship between the Father and the Son is characterized by love. There's just this incredible bond of love between the Father and the Son. And Jesus invites us into that relationship of love. Here's what he says to his disciples in chapter 15:9 of John. "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love." In a world of hate, in a world of narcissism, the love of Christ just shines through. When Jesus laid down his life on the cross, he showed us the meaning of his love. He broke through the darkness and brings new life to those who will receive it. The light of Christ means that you are loved and you have only to receive that love. You have only to invite Christ into your life to be able to experience perhaps a love that you've always desired. Jesus is not only the light, the true light, but he came in order to give us light. John writes this in verse 9. He says, "The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world." You see, it's not just Jesus' light. He came actually to give us light. So if you follow Jesus and have been filled with the Holy Spirit, you've been given the light of Christ. So that light is with you no matter where you go. So in a world that doesn't know him, you and I offer a light of hope and a new life in Christ. I mean, literally, we change the spiritual atmosphere, not because of anything we've done, but because of the light of Christ that rests in us. And so this Advent season, let's be intentional about seeking the true light of Christ. You know, Jesus was not born into a world of holiday cheer, festive displays, and widespread goodwill, but into a world of darkness, a world like ours. In life, Jesus would learn the sting of a loved one's death, the heartbreak of a close friend's betrayal, the vengeful backlash that came from simply declaring the truth, and the pain of suffering his own death and torture. In Christ, God has come to be here with you in spite of the darkness. Not in spite of the darkness, but precisely because of that darkness, in order to bring the darkest areas of your life into light. As we look forward to his return this season, let us invite that light to shine brightly in our lives. Amen.